Well, that's all very fine. Now, last night, there was the Scottish play opened, and there's two people in front of me who really would rather be in bed. And no matter how they pretend, they're delighted to be here. Smiley heads, we know, you know, I know, it's a lie. That's just a fact. Kirsty Besterman, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're so happy it's not TV, but there we are. And Michael Nardone.
Yes.
Late of what part of Italy is your background, sir?
My grandfather was from Frosinone, from near Monte Cassino.
Oh, wonderful. Do you go back? Do you see it?
I've not been back there for 10 years, but...
No!
But I have been there.
But you lashed into the accent like a flash.
Exactly.
That's the actor, ready for the off. Now, listen, Bord Gáis last night, the Scottish play, and I got an offer for it, because I always thought they would put the Scottish play written underneath the M word outside Bord Gáis. But no, there she is in bold letters, Macbeth, be japers.
Yes.
So how was it last night? Because this is a very different production than the one that one would necessarily assume one would see, because we met Rufus Norris before Christmas, the artistic director of the National Theatre. So this is very different, isn't it?
It is very different. It's sort of post-apocalyptic, futuristic sort of backdrop to the show, and we're all in sort of modern distressed costumes as if we are living through a war, post-war.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but it's the whole thing to me is very resonant, it's pertinent, because, you know, it's kind of like the idea that, you know, there are civil wars happening in other countries around the world, and you can see how quickly the infrastructure disintegrates, you know, and it's a kind of illustration of how that could happen and what would happen in a short space of time, from having everything we have now to within 5 or 10 years to having nothing.
Well, this is the point, and I remember when we were chatting with Rufus about this and the idea of Macbeth, and it's on the syllabus here, at, you know, for schools and stuff, as you know, but it is resonant today, and the world, and particularly because of the world we're inhabiting, not just Brexit, but what's happening in the States and what's happening in various countries, and look at the Yemen, for example, all over the world, there's stuff happening.
Yeah.
That, and this was written so many years ago. But that, I suppose, just goes again to prove the relevance of Shakespeare's work today.
Well, it is, you know, and of course Shakespeare is—he's a Jacobean. He's writing in the Jacobean period, but he's writing about events that kind of, he's fictionalized events that took place in the 11th century. Now, in the 11th century, it was horrendous in the British Isles. You know, what do they call it—the blood feud?
Horrendous.
But you couldn't be a king for 5 minutes because you'd be done in as well.
That's right. There was somebody else, and plus they were all blooming related. Of course, they still are, I suppose. But they were, you know, there was all of that.
Yeah.
That the jealousies and the wars that happened.
But you know, that may cut. You never know. That could come full circle. It could all happen again. We could be in the same place.
You're a cheerful man.
And so
you're a worry.
What was that you were saying? It's a light and airy and funny.
Let's keep it light.
But it is that. But it's true. No, but the fact, as a fellow said, facts are facts, and that's what they are. You know, I mean, you look at them. Although sometimes they're not necessarily. But for you guys, it's quite the undertaking. How long have you been a part of Macbeth?
We started rehearsing in August.
I should say, Lady Macbeth. I do apologise.
Started in August, and we were on the road by the end of September. No, October.
Right.
Yeah, and we had a little gap at Christmas, but we're in a different town every week.
You are. This is tough going.
Yeah.
And considering what you're playing, it's tough going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so where, well, with all due respect, where's the light relief in this one?
In the wings.
In the wings. That's right. That's right. Have you heard? Here's a good gag about Macduff. So what is it? A bit of that, is it? Because this is very intense, this stuff. Plus, it's talk about wordy, because Shakespeare is. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, we have had our moments on stage where the words go a little bit awry and we help each other out, or we get the giggles and we have to stop that.
Plus, you're like a family moving along, because it's a caravan, aren't you? You're a caravan,
when you
think about it. When you go from town to town. And these tours must be very fairly grueling, do you know?
I think this is particularly, I mean, it's to do a play, this play on this schedule is
It's
hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, when people come to see this, particularly because schools and stuff are involved, they need it to be right. You know, you can't say, I'll fluff this one. It's only, we're missing a witch. You know,
yes.
Macbeth, there seems to be one missing. You can't. It's got to be as is.
Well, the kids are great. The kids give us loads of energy, actually.
Do they?
And we'll have a lot in this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon. And they're vocal in their response. You know, it's almost Elizabethan in their in their response
to the
show.
How come the vocal? What?
Well, they whoop. If we have a kiss, they
really?
Will whoop. I mean, it changes from town to town.
Yes.
So in Edinburgh, they were quite well behaved.
Oh, you won't get that here.
But in Plymouth, they were very noisy.
Andy's a very important fellow down the Borgosh. He knows when you go into the Borgosh, all hell breaks loose. So they let themselves go, do they?
They do, And then in the party scenes, they kind of whoop along and they... they clap. And
but you see, it's a great thing for students to go and see it enacted in front of them. What a great way to learn a play. Because I remember when I was in school, I learned Coriolanus, which I hated. No point in pretending. It wasn't a lot of laughs either. No. And I didn't like it at all. But to be able in school to go and see the play, I just think it's a great thing. I just think it's a great way to do it.
Well, that's the ultimate, that's the main, that's the main reason for doing it. Really.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, and then they don't have to read it.
Exactly.
The other trick.
Yeah.
I just take notes.
Exactly.
That Italian fellow was very good, and that Lady Macbeth, I'm telling you. So I used to just take notes and do it that way. Listen, we have a little clip. No, we haven't. Yes, we do. Oh, yes, this is a clip. I'll just play it. I've no idea.
Thus cried, "Why, worthy thane, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain sickly of things. Go get some water and wash this filthy witness from your hands. Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go, carry them and smear the sleepy grooms with blood."
"I will go no more. I'm afraid to think of what I've done. Look on't again, I dare not.
Infirm of purpose."
By golly, you sound fairly vicious, I can tell you that.
You had no idea you were going to do that.
Oh, yes. Rufus brought that with him.
Oh, my God.
And he says, "Hang on to that, you might need it in January." And he was right. He was right. It's you. You're mortified.
Well, that was cheering.
That was, by golly, that was pretty scary. You do turn into something else on stage, don't you? Genie, I'd have to go and see this, I think, Michael. That was something else. Wow. Yeah, bit of a fright. Anyway, so there's obviously what's happened is Rufus has recorded bits and pieces of rehearsals, whatever. The plot is quite crazy. It's quite scary. In terms of light relief, there's so little in it. But it is very dark. And to play such a role, to be on that, no one is a villain said how it's going to end, which is not good. You have to kind of, I suppose, get into this frame of mind and then just roam with it all the time. Is it a bit like that? You let the world, try and keep the world outside and just live it?
Well, you have to. You have to feel it. You know, otherwise it don't work. I mean, because you're dealing with, you know, the powers of darkness, dark thoughts, you know, greed, ambition, lust for power, all that stuff, you know, isn't these are not kind of a light-hearted...
That's right.
So you have to. You can't help. You've got to get yourself in the vein and...
Isn't the language incredible still that Shakespeare wrote?
Yeah, it's very, the rhythm, it's very muscular. It drives the play, it drives us. You know, if you're having, like we were saying, if you're having a tired day and it just takes, it's like an engine.
Yes.
And it helps you go and, it's incredible, Shakespeare.
Remember, years ago, we took the family over to, took the children over to Stratford, and you did the tour in the houses and all the rest of it. And the words that were invented by this man, it's astonishing how much of an influence he continues to have, but his importance in the language, it's just fantastic. And when you get excited about that, I think, therefore, it brings the plays alive too, for me, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few in this. I mean, it's great, you know. I mean, you get to say some of these amazing phrases that he coined.
Yeah, exactly.
I do, you know, stuff like, a cursed life. I bear a charmed life.
Life.
That was Shakespeare.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. These phrases come... Like, we were discovering
be
things
be
like...
All and end all.
Be all and end all. We were discovering that Chairman was the person who sat at the top of a table. Like, all these things. What's that? All these words came from him. Astonishing stuff, you know? I mean, when your run ends, I mean, you're at the Borgosh till the 19th, just so you know, because I don't want you to, kind of leave early. Yeah, until the 19th. When that finishes, where's next? Where do you go to then?
Nottingham next
Nottingham.
Week.
And how long is that running, this whole trip for you guys?
End of March we finish.
End of March.
Yeah.
And you've been at it since when?
since October.
And are you, would you continue to work with the National Theatre, or how does it work? I mean, do you find other stuff comes? Because you both work in TV, you work in other areas too, in theatre.
Yeah, we do.
So you're not just affiliated to National Theatre.
No, I've only signed up to one.
Yeah,
to this
right, and that's one how it job works. At a time in our game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we'd love.
But being with the National Theatre is such a big deal, and we're obviously delighted that you guys are travelling to us, because that's a very big deal for us to meet people from the National Theatre and to have that level come for us as well. Will you do any meet and greets when you're here? Meet any of the roaring crowd. Smell of the grease paint, love of the roar of the crowd.
I mean, we don't.
I don't think.
Unless they come and say hello to us.
Yes, of course.
But
I often wondered, like the Macbeth thing, for example, because it's educational, because it's a school thing, there is that other string that could be done. I don't want to give you more work. You've worked hard enough. I'm just saying. But
I think if we didn't have three matinees, we might have been doing something along those lines. But I think the scheduling, they can't pay us overtime.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you couldn't afford it. So the matinee is today. Yes. Today? Yeah. What time?
2:30.
Good Lord. And then you're on tonight
and
again?
Tomorrow at 2:30. And tomorrow? Tonight, yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah. And Saturday?
Yes. 2:30 and 7:30.
What state will you be in by Sunday?
Well, exactly.
You'll be headless for a start. We're going to play Macbeth. Listen, hang on a second. We play a bit of music before, because I don't want to do anything else for a second. I want to keep you for a bit, if that's okay. No, I'm not playing that. That's too long. I'll play this. Enjoying that because it was Italian. That's what you're liking that so much, Michael Nardone. And Kirsty Bestman with me. We're talking about Macbeth, Lady Macbeth. We're just saying the reason it's called a Scottish play is because terrible things will happen if you say it in the theatre.
In the theatre, yes.
That's right. Presumably things did happen
Rufus has a theory about it, which is Macbeth gets put on when a theatre is potentially struggling because it's a moneymaker. It's always been a moneymaker.
Yes.
And so if your theatres, you know, theatre producers have always put it on to get the crowds in.
Yes.
And so it gets done with often with little rehearsal.
Right.
And there are a lot of fights.
Yes.
And so injuries have, you know, always happened.
Inevitably, yes.
Because
it's very violent.
Rushed.
The violence, and, you know.
Yeah.
Not just the Witch's Cauldron and all that crack. So you've all manner of things going on.
Yes. I mean, these guys fight with machetes.
Not real machetes.
No, they're blunted, but they are real. But they are blunted.
Well, they're
blunted, but they're real.
But you can see sparks flying when they...
Are you trained in this? You are.
Yeah, they're trained, yeah.
It's kind of a Peter O'Toole kind of thingy.
Yes.
Little Irish thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are trained in this. That's very good. Because that would be nerve-wracking too. So there's a lot of physicality involved in this too.
Yeah, if it wasn't physical enough up until the fights, it just kind of then it takes off, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're fighting for your life. That's the story of Macbeth, you know, and ambition and greed and all the rest of it, and ego. Look, it's incredible when you think about all the different emotions you've got to portray on that stage, and all the rest of it. Not to mention the witches.
And then the fight sequences are great actually. Because ultimately, he wants to fight. He fights to die.
Yes,
that's the.
Yes,
he's not fighting.
But he believes that he can't be killed because he thinks he's immortal. There's the other one, cesarean section. That thing, that idea that that somebody is sneeze away. We're live radio.
It was
no
a burp,
one will know.
Actually, it was it's burp.
A, oh, burp. That's a whole different thing.
Anyway, it's gone now.
We haven't had a live burp in ages. Although I might have had one about Thursday week last. I would have blamed somebody else. As we're trying, we should have done with you. But the thing is, where was I talking about? Oh yes. That whole idea of the idea of this guy being out there and fighting the fight and doing whatever he wants, but that he didn't think he could die. And one of the things was the cesarean section, which apparently dates way back to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and the idea that not born in a natural way,
exactly.
And therefore he felt that the person couldn't kill him, which of course was slightly wrong, in fairness, to say the least. So what happens after this now? Will you head back to the theatre? Will you go back to bed? Or what happens now? Well, or do you go to BT's and buy something nice? Or
I don't know, I might go and get some, buy some bread, and make some toast in the apartment, but I'll probably have a bath.
It's just such an exciting life, isn't it, being an actor?
And then try and lie very still.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. And what about TV, lads? Because you've worked in TV, both of you, and stuff, and film and all that.
Yeah.
That comes along, you do it, bang, bang, and then, again, you can find yourself. So it is an actor's life for me, as the fella said. You go out there and you do what you do. And this tour, which is no doubt a godsend for an actor or an actress. Can I still say actor? I like actress.
I like actress.
Yeah,
yes.
I do too.
Yes,
I do too.
That's fine.
But you know what I mean? That this is what you do. And then the other opportunities come for film and TV and whatever else they are. So that you take them as they come.
Well, I just think, you know, I mean, there's the days of picking and choosing in an actor as an actor are, for an actor like me anyway, are long gone, you know. So you're going to go where I'm. You know?
Where the work is.
Exactly. So if you want to work, you go and work. And I just kind of, that's been my mantra for
a while, you know. Are you fans of Shakespeare, by the way? This is a hard question to answer because you go to...
Oh, God, yeah. Long.
But
I've always been a fan.
Really?
I used to be a barmaid at the Dirty Duck pub in Stratford.
You did not.
I did.
Probably saw you there when I was with the children.
Yeah,
you probably
did.
You were probably about two at the time.
Yeah, so I have always been a huge fan.
Really?
And watching the plays when I was at school made me want to be an actor. So I feel like, and I haven't done any Shakespeare for over 10 years, so it's a lovely return for me to something that had been what got me here.
That's funny that should be in your background, that you would have that, you know, that would link it in, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the influence again, and people always talk about the importance of his work and how it has influenced their lives. I'm talking about actors now, and how it has made such a difference. One of the things somebody was on about this morning, and they were just wondering this morning, but the idea of playing this and coming to Shakespeare as an actor. And the question was asked that, you know, what skills do you need to bring with you to play Shakespeare? Is it different to playing somebody else or playing, not somebody else, playing different types of work? Is Shakespeare specifically
Different? Because there's a whole different set of skills. You know, suddenly your breathing and your vocal ability, you really have to work hard with your
breath.
With your breathing and, you know, and how you're kind of chewing these words, because sometimes it's a real exercise.
Yes.
So despite what you're doing with your arms and your legs, there's a whole other thing you're doing with your tongue.
Technically. But I think also, so there is that technical side of it, but also you've got to go, it is just like anything else. for it to not feel. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's not alien.
No, you have to. You have to be. You have to not be scared to naturalize it. They have to be real. They're real people. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Just I remember when I think about people like Richard Harris, just to mention Harris, another Irish actor. But I think like, when he was shouted, it was all shouting. And Burton, Richard Burton, was there, get me a cup of tea for heaven's sake. And you go, what? And it was all rah. You know, and there was a lot of that, and it's projecting all the time. Yeah. Maybe that's the acting thing back in those days. Do you know? Maybe that's what it is, and it comes from that late 1500s thing. It's projection.
I think you're probably right.
I mean, I'm just guessing, but
I mean, I think it's good to do a bit of both, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah.
A bit of raw and a bit of.
That's right. Ooh. That's right. And also that you'll get your way if you come across as strong. And of course, when we talk about this, Macbeth, you had to pretend to be as strong as an ox. Which, of course, you are, Michael, not to suggest that you're not.
Absolutely.
But in any way not strong.
But then you get the other thing, you know, Macbeth is allowed to... He spends a lot of time on his own.
Yes.
Speaking to the audience, you know, when it's that kind of stuff, when he's externalising his internal thoughts, he does it out loud, you know, and shares it with the...
That's right.
...with the people, and then you're allowed to really sort of, you know, to not shout and not be verbose. You can bring it down and really kind of have a conversation with them, and that's...
Yeah, that's quite, yeah, it's an interesting one too, yeah, because I love that difference, that change. Mm-hmm. Listen, thank you both for coming in, straight off for toast and tea, and we wish you the very best, and thank you both for joining us. Just a reminder again, lads, that it is Macbeth, Scottish play, and it's running, I should have said it the other way around, and it's running until Saturday 19th of January at the Bord Gáis, matinee today, did you say 2:30?
2:30
today.
Tomorrow
being Thursday and Saturday, and the evening, of course, as well. Not to be missed, Michael Nardone and Kristy Westman. Thank you both.
Thank you.
It was a real pleasure.
I really enjoyed your company this morning. And we played a piece of music earlier on. It was to do with a movie. Would you have recognised this theme, this movie theme? This is the 70s, yeah. It involves two people. And if two people are going hand in hand down the street, you'd say they are a...
couple.
They are a couple. So, if they're unlikely to be
the
together...
The odd couple.
Ah! See? A Marty Moustache for you, I think. There it is. So, who's our winner this morning? Our winner this morning, the odd couple is right from Lucan, is Damien Allen. Well done, Damien. Keep the faith. We'll send you out that CD. And thank you for joining. Oh, no, we won't. We'll send you out those tickets for Tchaikovsky at the National Concert Hall. That's a lot for this morning. I have a moustache on me here somewhere.